Next, Acts chapter 26. 26, I said. No, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the subject of this passage I call the missionary expansion of the church. Beginning at verse 26, hear the word of God. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the living God. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we now bow before your word and ask that the truth of this word and its power may become a reality in our hearts, in our hearing, by the powerful work of the Spirit. Bless that word as it goes forth, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Through Christ alone we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, there are three great goals of the church, no more and no less. The three great goals of the church, of course, are worship, building up, or fancier word, edification, and witness. This evening I want to talk about the third in that triumvirate of goals, witness. Fulfilling the Great Commission is one of the things the church is charged to do. They were the last words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Go into all the world preaching the gospel." We're called as followers of Christ to bring the message of the kingdom of God and of the Savior to the world. And our goal of evangelism exists because it is one of God's goals, not only for the church as a whole, but for this church, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And evangelism, you'll find all throughout the New Testament scripture, especially as the story of Jesus Christ unfolds. This evening, as we look at the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, we see but one example of the Lord's plan for the missionary expansion of the church. And this evening, I would like you to look at this passage with me and see in it the three things that I have found in it. First of all, God's plan, then God's man, and then God's message. God's plan, first of all. His plan is the blessing of salvation that will be brought to all the nations of the earth. And I would emphasize all the nations because, of course, Christ said, "Go into all the world." Remember, he spoke that at a time when the Jews still looked on others as outsiders to the covenant of promise. But if you go back to the pages of the promise of God to Abraham, he didn't tell Abraham that he would be a blessing only to his descendants, but he said that through you there will be a blessing to the entire world. In God's plan, it's always been the case that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you skip forward, going from Genesis all the way to Revelation, in the book of Revelation, you see in the vision of John in the book of the Revelation that there is from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, someone gathered around the throne singing the praise of God. So while the Jews looked on others as outside of the covenant of promise, God was busy seeing that his plan would be fulfilled. And in this particular case, God directs Philip, whom we call Philip the Evangelist, God's to fulfill his plan to bring salvation to this man who was not of the people of Israel. In fact, it tells us he was an Ethiopian man who, our text says in verse 27, had gone to Jerusalem to worship. We're not sure why, but he did. And he went to worship in Jerusalem. Now, having gone to Jerusalem to worship would have been a considerable undertaking for a man, even in his position in that day. It would have come at a great expense, and it's greatly significant in the light of the religion of his queen, which was not the religion of the people of Israel. But further, when he got to Jerusalem, he would find that he was not as welcome as he might have thought, because he was a eunuch. And a eunuch is specifically not allowed within the people of God, because as Deuteronomy 23 verse 1 says, no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. A eunuch, by definition, was a person who was barred from entering the presence of the assembly of God's people. And not only is he a non-Jewish person, but he is a eunuch, and so he had a lot of things going not for him, but against him. And so it might have been quite a disappointing trip. It might have even been more disappointing, because when he came to Jerusalem, he might have met some of those wonderful people that Jesus ran into in his ministry that we call Sadducees and Pharisees, people who were concerned more about rules and politics than they were about people. In fact, some commentators, that's not a common potato, but that's someone who comments on the Bible, commenting on the Bible, those who write commentaries have mentioned this in more than one place. It might have been possible that when he was in Jerusalem, this man who came there to worship, he might not even have heard about Jesus. Interesting. Whatever the case, we know that he left Jerusalem without having found the Lord, because we find him reading, still not understanding the plan of God to incorporate the nations of the earth as God sends a messenger to him. He didn't understand, but he was searching and reading the scriptures, but he had not found God. I think that's the case with a great many people, even in our world today. We hear a lot in our world, and people talk about spirituality, but we don't find people who have found God, the God of Scripture, the God in Christ who has come to redeem a people. We hear a lot of talk about religions of the world, but those religions of the world do not center upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they will not answer the deepest longings of our heart and the spiritual matters that should be most profound in our lives. For as St. Augustine said, there is a part of us that only God can fill, or that was his way of saying that there is a God-sized hole in our hearts that only God can fill. And that's because we're made in the image of God. We are made to be followers of God, covenanted creatures who in the beginning were made for that wonderful, joyous fellowship with God prior to the fall in sin through Adam and Eve. The only relief for that need comes through the gospel, and that's God's plan for the missionary expansion of the church. And in God's plan, he had chosen this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, not even naming him, to be the recipient of the message of the gospel. And to do that, he sent his man, Philip, to reach this man with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have God's plan, reaching the world with the message of the gospel, but we have to have some way of getting that plan to the world, and God uses, in this case, his man, Philip. Do you remember much about Philip? I trust that you remember he was one of the, someone called him seven servers, or we might better remember them as deacons. Seven servers. They were deacons. The early deacons of the church were to serve the church. But Philip was one of those seven deacons who became an evangelist, and all of those deacons were men who were full of the Holy Spirit, and it tells us that this man particularly knew the Scripture. Not only did he know the Scripture, but he was obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I hadn't noticed it in this passage until I reflected upon it this week, perhaps in conjunction with our evangelism explosion training. I looked at the passage again, and you know, all it did was the Holy Spirit did was say to Philip, go. Didn't tell him where he was going. He said, just go, and you're going to go in the middle of a desert, and I want you to stand there, basically. And so he went, and he was obedient. And then when this Ethiopian was coming along in his chariot, he said, the Spirit said to Philip, I want you to go and attach yourself to that man. But he didn't tell him to evangelize, did he? It's not specifically said, go and lead that man there to Christ. I think Philip just did that instinctively because he was prepared. He was God's man, obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When God provided a door, that is an opportunity, Philip did not object. He didn't say, well, you know, Lord, and if you would back up into the context of Acts chapter 8, you'd see what's going on. Philip was involved in a great revival when the Lord, by the Spirit, calls him to go to a desert place. He's involved in a great revival. Things are going good. And in the middle of a great revival, the Spirit says, go. Wouldn't there be something in us that would say, Lord, don't you think you could send somebody else? You know, I'm busy here. Things are going pretty good. The church is growing here, Lord. Don't you see that? This work is being blessed, and you want me to... I think I know somebody who has gifts. We could send him, or we could send her. That might be what we would do, but I noticed that Philip was completely submissive to the Spirit. And when the Spirit said, go, Philip obeyed. God taking him from a very successful place of service, calling him to another, God had a purpose in mind, and his purpose was that his man, Philip, would be the messenger who would bring the word of God to this Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip found an approach to that Ethiopian that was able to reach him. He didn't idly stand by and wait for the man to ask him a question. As he came alongside that chariot, and you could imagine that there was the usual greeting in that day, there might have been some form of greeting. But Philip noticed immediately the Spirit did not tell him, apparently. We don't find that in Scripture. But what is it that Philip observed the Ethiopian doing? It's right there. He was reading the Scripture. You see, he looks and he sees an opportunity. He sees something that he can use to speak to the Ethiopian about the gospel, an approach that would be able to reach him. And he looked at the meeting with the Ethiopian, and he looked at the things that the Ethiopian was doing, the reading of the Bible, as a springboard into an evangelism encounter. Now, that's what we need to be doing as well, looking for those opportunities, because like Philip, you are God's man or you are God's woman, and you are called and you are prepared, hopefully by your knowledge of the Scripture, you should be sufficiently taught to be able to share the gospel. So we ought to be looking for springboard opportunities like Philip found when he saw this man reading the Scripture, and we ought to look for those opportunities to ask a question and to enter into an evangelistic encounter. Are we looking for those opportunities to evangelize? Do we have a plan? There's an old saying in the sales community, have a plan and work your plan. But if you don't have a plan, you're doomed because you're going to fail. That's your plan. Have a plan. And if your plan is to say, Lord, give me an opportunity, help me to see the opportunity when it arises, there will be opportunity for you to be God's man or woman to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Notice that Philip takes the natural and gracious initiative to speak with the Ethiopian. Look at verse 30. He ran alongside the chariot and he heard him reading Isaiah. What a great place to start talking about Jesus. We'll get to that in a moment, but I just think this is great. And then he says, do you understand what you're reading? What a gracious way. He didn't ask the Ethiopian if his felt needs were being met. That's what a lot of preaching, if it could be called preaching today on television, some radio programs, all about your felt needs and how if you only do this, you'll be happy and God will bless you. There's a whole group of teachers in that community of the radio and television ministry that we call the health and wealth gospel. And it's a false gospel. It's been documented by those who are conversant in the scripture and they can point out its errors quite well. And one of the books that does it quite well is by my friend Mike Horton, who wrote the book Christless Christianity. If you haven't gotten a copy of that, I would urge you to dig into that book. It's a great book. And he nails it down from the scripture and he says this health and wealth gospel that's being preached is a false gospel. Philip didn't take up a health and wealth gospel and say, hello, eunuch, how are you today? Are you happy? Do you have everything you need? Are you happy in your spirituality? No, he saw that this man needed one thing clearly. He needed to understand. That's what he was concerned about. Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand the scriptures? And even though the man did not understand, he continued to read. Now, if you don't understand scripture, like the Ethiopian, you ought to seek help to understand. The Ethiopian was a successful, intelligent individual, but he was willing to say, I don't understand. You don't get to the highest level of government serving the queen and in charge of her entire treasury without being someone who can add 2 + 2 and get 4 without the modern math assistance that we have today. And he had a great responsibility, but he was humble enough to be able to say, no, I don't understand. And the burning question of his heart was to understand what he was reading. That should be our burning passion and our desire as well, to understand the Word of God so that as we understand its truth, it may become a part of our lives and that others may understand it and receive it as well. But verse 35, I think, is most significant. After he asked him, do you understand? And the Ethiopian says, I really don't know who he's talking about here. Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about some other man? What an opportunity. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. He didn't talk about the news. He didn't talk about the weather. He didn't talk about the latest ball game or sports team, politics, business, church procedures, rules and issues, the book of church order. He talked about Jesus. And he began to tell him about Jesus from this passage. And it's in this passage that you find the very heart of the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Here you have the Isaiah promise of the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the prophecy that there would be one who would come as a substitute for sinners, who would be led like a sheep to the slaughter. And immediately in the Old Testament reader or someone who has come to a few of the sermons on Leviticus would understand that there was a sacrifice and that sacrifice was a substitute for the offerer and the worshiper. And that now here is a person who is being offered as a substitute for sinners, and God would lay his judgment and our sin upon him. It's the gospel. And Philip preaches Jesus to this man. Isaiah said plainly that there would be such a manner of redeeming the church that the Son of God, by his death, would purchase life for me and for all who believe, and that he offered himself as a sacrifice to purge the sins of men and women. Punished by the hand of God, he would go to the very depths of hell that he may exalt us to heaven. In sum, this passage teaches us plainly how we are reconciled with God, how we obtain righteousness, how we come into the kingdom of God and become delivered from the tyranny of Satan, how we are loosed from the yoke of sin, and how we find salvation full and free. With unwavering precision, Philip takes his text of Scripture and preaches Jesus. He didn't send this man to an institute or a seminar. He didn't sign him up for a super program for government employees. He didn't even ask him for a donation. He didn't give him a book of promises, didn't put him in a 12-step program for confident Christian living, and he didn't package up a message on self-esteem and say, "This is all you need to know to be happy." He preached Jesus. He called him to the repentance of his sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life, for that is the gospel. Trust Jesus with all your heart. The business of the church, beloved, is the business of the gospel. And the business of the gospel is the business of the kingdom of God. And the church of Jesus Christ has been afflicted with a spiritual amnesia in the days in which we live in the 21st century, and its carryover from the 20th century. We've forgotten amnesia. What's our primary calling? Our primary calling is not to be successful. Our primary calling is not to be big or even to be an influence. Our primary calling is to live on this earth and represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and declare his gospel to the ends of the earth. Rather than trying to make people happy and hope that they'll come to church, the church ought to be busy taking the message of the gospel to people so that they may hear, like this Ethiopian, and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if we're not busy with reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're busy with the wrong things. If we're not busy with reaching people with Christ, we're wrong. Our main concern, our primary desire should be to see people trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is why God sent a man whose burning passion and desire was to see people come to see Jesus is the answer, the Savior of sinners, trust in him. Then thirdly, there is a message. We have God's man, we have God's plan, and God's message. And the message is the unchanging message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian was converted and received into the church by the gospel. As I said, Isaiah 53 afforded every opportunity for Philip the evangelist to declare the gospel. The person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his unparalleled suffering for sinners. In Isaiah 53, the doctrine of the vicarious or substitutionary nature of his suffering is there. It's predictive of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the victory that's in Jesus, who after his suffering would be raised and triumphant over all that he endured because God would accept his suffering for us. All of those truths are found in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. What could be added then to relieve a doubting mind? In the atonement and in the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is all that's needed to satisfy an offended God and consequently to satisfy a wounded conscience and a heart that's seeking and yearning to know the living God. That's the message that Philip preached. And when Philip preached that message from Isaiah 53, and it says he preached to him Jesus, the gospel, God's message, got a hold of this Ethiopian man and brought him to salvation in Jesus Christ. And the first thing that he did then was he wanted to become identified with the church. Notice that Philip didn't say, you know, I think you ought to get baptized. Who is the one in this passage, as you read it again, was the one that said, I would like to be baptized? He recognized from the teaching of the Word of God, this Ethiopian eunuch, that he needed to identify with the church. And by baptism, the sign and the seal of the covenant of God with his people, he's incorporated into the covenant family of God. And remember, he was an outsider to the covenant fold. He was not only an Ethiopian, a black man outside of the race of the Israelites, but he was a eunuch who by definition could not be invited into the assembly of the Old Testament people of God, and now he is invited into the very family of God by the message of the gospel of grace and that sign and seal that indicates that we are washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus is applied to him by his baptism by Philip, because he confesses and professes nothing else than this: I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. From outsider, he becomes an insider. From being outside the covenant, he is brought in. Confessing Jesus Christ brings a person in to the family of God. Baptism attests to that reality that we are washed in the blood of Christ and that we now belong to God, and we rest in the promise of what God has done in Christ, what God did for us in salvation, and what God will do in completing that salvation by bringing us into his presence forevermore. The Spirit of God had prepared this man for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit of God is at work, Christ himself is there opening a door that no man can shut, and he is preparing people by his Spirit to receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring that over into our evangelism training and our evangelism program. We don't believe that for a moment that people's salvation is dependent upon our evangelism program. We're simply the tool, or as we said a few weeks ago, we're the straw that delivers the goods. Remember the illustration of the shake. You go to the store, you go through the McDonald's drive-thru on a hot day, and you get a shake, and you drink it through that straw. It's a little hard sometimes. Hate it when you get straws that when you suck on it, it just kind of goes, you know, because those shakes are so cold. You know what I'm talking about. But eventually, when it's soft enough and it's good enough, the straw just delivers the goods, and you're enamored with the straw. No, you're not enamored with the straw. You're thankful for the taste. You're thankful your taste buds are just tingling all over. Your thirst has been quenched, and you're saying, this is satisfying. Why? Because I got what I came for. I got the shake, chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry, whichever one you wanted. Go during the time of seasons when they have the other good ones, but it's the shake, and the straw goes in the garbage. It doesn't count, except it's really helpful to deliver the goods. We're here to deliver the goods in evangelism, to prepare ourselves to be good straws, to deliver the goods, but we don't think for a moment that it's dependent upon us. God simply uses us as a means to bring about his message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world that we live in. One of the things that we could learn from this passage then is we need to improve our reading and our understanding of Scripture so that we'll be ready like Philip. He took an opportunity that he observed and he saw. He didn't wait to be told by the Spirit, now go and evangelize that guy over there. We don't need to wait to be told by the Spirit of God. If we wait, we'll be here forever, to go and evangelize our neighbors, our community. We already have that command. Go ye therefore into all the world. When you look for opportunities, you'll find them. And it's our business to study that word so that we too will understand, we too will be ready, we too will be able to explain to others the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So take every advantage that you can for instruction in the Word. Be glad that you're here tonight to learn, to hear the Word of God. Look forward to opportunities in the future to study the Word of God, be it in a Bible study, be it in the preaching of the Word. But take advantage of the Word so that you are better prepared day in and day out to learn from the Word of God, and learn from it that the power of God to salvation is in the power of the gospel, not in the straw. What a wonderful example this passage is to us about bringing salvation to sinners. God saves people through His gospel. He sent a messenger to a man on a road in a desert. That man brought the gospel to the Ethiopian's heart and life. I would suspect that that Ethiopian went home, gathered around him fellow believers who are also trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that may have been the mark of the start of the church in Ethiopia. We don't know, but there has been a continuous church in that country and in other places in the world. And it comes through the message that God has in the hearts and in the lives of those whom He saves. But for us, we need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to share. And I ask you this evening, will you take God's plan and His message? Will you be His man? Will you be His woman? Will you be His straw through whom the message of the gospel is taken to someone? They are reached with that message through the power of the Holy Spirit, who prepares their hearts as the Philippian, as Philip saw the Lord had prepared the Ethiopian, and they are reached with the gospel and are saved for eternity because they are a part of God's gracious plan of expanding His church and His kingdom throughout the whole earth. This is a challenge to us to be involved in evangelism. May the Lord stir our hearts, and may you also recall that Christ not only told us that we are to go into all the earth, but He equips us, and in Acts chapter 1 He says, "And you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Brothers and sisters in Christ, go in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit as you evangelize and tell people about Christ. It is not your strength alone, but God who is at work in you, and through you, He'll bring many into the kingdom for His glory. Amen. Let us pray.